Open to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Isaac is going to read the main verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Robert Gill, Luke 8, 13. Nathan, 2 Timothy 3, 3. Casey, James 1, 8. Dwayne, Proverbs 28, 19. Matt Sanger, Proverbs 27, 8. Phil, Matthew 22, 14. Ryan, Numbers 14, 1. Gaspar, Psalm 51, 10. David Sanchez, Ephesians 3, 17. J.W., Psalm 57, 7. And Andy, 1 Corinthians 15, 58, the second time. Okay, this lesson is considering the question, why do many men who say they are called at one point in time or who begin to do right in various areas, but then they fail to follow through? Why don't they go on with it? And so we're going to look at the issue, the problem of instability. So you have this idea of men who are unstable, and obviously I'm not talking about mentally, although that could be a problem as well. But instability, in other words, they're back and forth. And so this scripture that we're going to read here is a final command of Paul, and that is that we should be steadfast. Steadfast. And I want to minister for a few minutes on a steadfast spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, 58.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Okay, be steadfast and immovable. Let's talk about the curse of instability. Instability is the mark of our generation, and that is that people fail to continue doing things. They fail to continue doing right or doing good, and so starting is not the problem. For many people, it's not a matter that they never have an urge to start, whether that is New Year's resolutions, getting fit, doing anything good. Starting, they can even start with emotion and enthusiasm, but the problem is they fail to keep on doing what they said they're going to do over time. Luke 8:13, did I give that?
But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word of the joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away.
Okay, they receive the word with joy. That's true. Most beginnings often have this. It's like you are stirred in some way. It's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, get fit. I'm going to start this hobby resolution. I'm going to get my finances in order, whatever it might be. And then, of course, we're talking about, I'm going to go for God. I'm going to do the will of God. But the scripture says, but over time, then they fade. They don't continue in what they do. That's very true in the things of God. I'm not doing this for a fitness or a diet. I'm doing this for the things of God. So many men begin to seek God's will. They are stirred in a sermon. God speaks to them personally at conference, discipleship class. They're stirred. And so they begin to seek God's will. They even begin to do God's will. They start doing some good things, but just like the seed on the rock is that they fade over time and then they stop. The very thing that they said, this is what I want, they're no longer doing. 2 Timothy 3:3.
Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good.
I don't know what translation that is, but in the King James, I'm looking for truce breakers. So simply talking about people who don't keep their word. They say this is what I want, this is what I want to do, but then they don't do it. So instability is talking about someone who is up and down, and I'm not just talking about in the normal course of life. There's no one that you're going to be amped every day. The only way you can do that is drugs, and just not going to work, right, as a Christian. So people who are constantly up and down, back and forth, hot and cold, they're here, they're gone, they're enthusiastic, and then they're indifferent. And so this is, I'm describing someone who the course of their life is instability. James 1:8.
But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind.
Okay, so this is talking, of course, in the issue of faith, but unstable man, the Bible says, or a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's in the same passage. So if you are unstable or instability is a problem, this affects every single area of your life. There's no one that this is just in the things of God. A double-minded man. Exactly what I said. Back and forth. The Bible says, describes it like a drunk. You ever seen a drunk? They're reeling back and forth. That's how some people live. I'm going to do right. I'm going to get my finances. I'm going to fix my marriage. It's just back and forth, but they don't continue on. So it causes problems, personal frustration. So people who have the tendency for instability, many times the people who are unstable, they hate it. They recognize that. It's like, man, I always start and then I go back. It depresses them. And so the reason why that's dangerous is now in the things of God. Now God speaks to them again, and they go, why try? How many times have I said, I'm going to do right, and then I don't wind up doing it? So they are personally frustrated. Then there's a lack of productivity and success in life. Unstable or inconsistent people fail to accomplish anything real because the key to success is effort over time. Anything. You want to be a success in financially? It's over time. It's right decisions over time. That is what it takes. And so it takes effort over time to fulfill your desires or your intentions. Proverbs 28:19.
He that tills his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that follows after vain persons shall have poverty enough.
Okay, I love the NIV. Instead of following after vain persons, it says, he who chases fantasies. That's a classic picture of an unstable person, is that they will not, the Bible says here in farming, what's the key? Work your land. But an unstable person, hey, I know, I'm going to go over here. You know what? I'm going to get it. If I only went... And they're chasing fantasies. And so they don't achieve anything. And then, of course, then there's a negative impact on other people. Inconsistent or unstable people, they frustrate everybody around them. Everybody who has dealings with an unstable man is frustrated. And they actually wind up doing damage. Unstable men let people down. They give their word, yep, I'm going to do that. And so other people build their plans around because you said, and that, I don't want to. They let other people down. I had, one of my sisters, when we were kids, we would play board games. As soon as she was losing, she would upset the whole board. So the problem was, it didn't just affect her, right? I was winning, and you let other people down. They set a bad example. Unstable people. They set a bad example. It's from time to time I've had this. You get a new convert who they are there because of somebody else, and they're looking around like, where's that guy? And you're like, he just must have a flat tire like for 6 months. I don't know what's happened to him. And then, of course, if you're married, you cause your wife to not believe in you. Proverbs 27:8.
Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place.
Okay, a man who wanders from his place, the Bible says, it's like a bird that wanders from the nest. In other words, you make people under you vulnerable. If you're unstable, you make the family vulnerable spiritually. And I've seen this, that unstable men, they often wind up causing spiritual damage. Or the problem in discipleship is that you cause your words or your intentions to be despised. What you don't want is, you don't want to be like Lot, who the Bible says, he said, guys, we got to get out of here, save our lives. And the Bible says to his sons-in-law, he was like one who mocked. That was a joke. You don't want to get to be like that in life, to where you say, I'm going to do this, and your wife or your family go, yeah, right. That's not a helpful thing. Fourth thing is, if you are unstable, then you fail to achieve God's will for your life. Proverbs 22:14. Matthew 22:14. I'm sorry.
For many are called, but few are chosen.
Okay, many are called, but few are chosen. The problem with many men over time, it's not that they aren't called. Well, maybe because I went back, maybe I'm not called. That wasn't the problem. You really were stirred. It's not that they're evil. You've heard me say many times, I have pastored very few evil people. And I've pastored 34 years. Very few evil people. But the problem why many are called and few are chosen is, often it comes down to, they won't keep making right decisions over time. Instability. Let's talk secondly about the causes of instability. Why? Why are some men unstable? So it's possible, number one, that instability is a spiritual curse. Our scripture talks about a steadfast spirit. So, of course, there are opposites in the kingdom of God, and so perhaps that suggests to us that there is an unsteadfast or an unstable spirit. A healthy home life provides stability. You learn this, where there is a healthy mother and father, they raise children that in the overall, one of the effects is it just provides stability mentally, emotionally, and in many different ways. So, on the other hand, if you're raised in an unhealthy home or lack in the home, it has spiritual effects. Some people learn instability by example. That's what they saw. They saw mom and dad. As soon as things got tough, they split. Right? They learned it. It's ingrained. This is what you do. There's no stability in their life. And then, of course, we talk many times about rejection. Rejection can do damage that causes instability. And some of the most unstable in life are people who've been rejected very badly by whoever in life. And so one of the things is that rejected people, often it produces instability. Second thing, fantasy produces instability. Some people have an unrealistic view of life. Okay? And that is, because I am excited, because I am stirred, it's automatically going to happen. I think I mentioned in sermons years ago, we had I had a friend in Australia, and talking to him, a guy who hadn't done right since Noah got off the boat. And so I'm talking to him. He got stirred in a conference a while back, and I was very pleased to see that he was stirred. But the statement he kept making was, I'm there, I'm there, I'm there. It's like, no, you're not. You're actually here. it's just a saying that he had adopted. But part of that was a fantasy. And that is, because I am excited, it's happening, man. I am. It's a done deal. And so my point in being unrealistic is, some people fail to take into account the realities of life. That is, I'm excited today. Chances are like 100% that you won't be excited at some point. Because that's emotion, right? If you don't understand that, then you're not going to function well. Tiredness. You're going to make good, I am going to. Yeah, but what happens if you're just absolutely dead dog tired? You know, that's a reality of life. Resistance, the devil fight, you know, assault, all these different issues. And so some people are unrealistic. They don't take that into account, that this is a possibility. And so the reason why that's important is we view setbacks incorrectly. So if you say to me, I want to do the will of God and I'm going to, great. Any of you that say that to me, I am pleased, but I also know that chances are good in a very short amount of time, you're going to have a day where you fail to do the very thing you said, or you're going to fail to do what you want to do. I am going to pray every single day. I'm going to read my Bible. That is very good. It's not that I don't want you to think that or don't want you to say that, but what happens in some people is in their fantasy, it's all or nothing. And this is who I am. This is an identity issue. So therefore, if I am doing, I did it for 3 days in a row because that's who I am. But then, you know, you had the flu on the fourth day. You woke up, you had an exhausting day and you overslept. Which I'm not saying that's good. I'm not recommending that. But that's so the problem with some guys is in their fantasy life, they can't allow for that. I missed a day. So therefore, what's the point in going on? So they wind up quitting. Some guys in fantasy, they set unrealistic goals. Part of their problem in life is when they decide to do right, they set goals that are just simply too large, way, way too large. In other words, if you haven't been reading your Bible for some amount of time and God deals with you, you say, I need to start reading my Bible. The problem with some guys is like, so I'm going to read 50 chapters a day. That's just not realistic. It's not going to happen over time. That's far too big. So here's human nature, right? I'm going to read 50 chapters a day. I'm going to pray for 3 hours a day. Well, you know, they did that for a day and then, you know, they were tired. They got sick, whatever happened. And so they didn't do it for 3 days. And so the problem in their mind is like, now I'm down 150 chapters, right? There's no way over it. I'm down 9 hours already. And it's only Thursday. I'm dead. So therefore that kind of heart, it's so easy to say, what's the point? I'm never going to make up 150 chapters. Well, the problem was that wasn't a wise goal in the first place. That was just simply too large. If you haven't been doing anything right, declaring you're going to be Reinhard Bonnke by Tuesday is probably not realistic, right? You should start smaller so that it's not as devastating if you have a bad day. So fantasy produces instability. Emotional immaturity is the third thing, produces instability. The problem is many men live by their emotions. They base their decisions and actions on how they feel. Hence, oh, Pastor, conference was awesome. I am so excited. I am going to do the will of God. Why? Because I feel it. Woohoo! But what happens when you're not feeling it, right? And so this caused a problem. Verse 58 says, be immovable. One of the things that causes people to move is emotions. Right? I'm going to do it, but I don't feel like doing it. So they don't. So you are movable. And many times it's simply emotion. Simple reality of life goes back to our thought of coming against fantasy, and that is, face this fact, you're not going to feel good all the time. Right? There are some services, I'm the pastor and I don't want to be here. Okay, that's life. But I don't determine that. I go, where's Pastor Greg? He didn't feel like coming today. That's too bad. Right? They say that most of the world's work is done by people who don't feel like it. That's life. If you are emotion driven, you're going to have a tough life. I think you will be unstable. Let's talk finally. One more verse. Numbers 14:1.
So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night.
Okay, so this is the children of Israel. This is classic. Is they come up against a hard situation, so the Bible says they start to cry. They're depressed. And what do they want to do? Let's quit. We're going to the promised land. I don't feel good, so let's quit. That is instability. Let's talk finally about curing instability. So if you are going to overcome, some of you, this is the pattern. Everything I've said is actually the pattern of your whole life. So to cure this, you have to, first of all, take your instability, your inconsistency to God. So that requires honesty, doesn't it? Is you need to have a conversation with God, telling God what he already knows. And that is, this is who I am. This is what I'm like. God, I am unstable. I don't follow through in the decisions that I make. Therefore, asking God, it may be, first of all, there's a family curse at work in you. There may be something spiritual through rejection, through something else. Fine. You need to ask God for a miracle. You need to ask God to help you. Psalm 51:10.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within.
Okay, renew a right spirit. And the reason why I chose that verse is it's actually kind of the same word that we read, steadfast. A right spirit is a steadfast spirit. Okay, steadfast. That's what I need, God. So he's recognizing, number one, it takes repentance. That's what he's doing. Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance. God, I am going to change my mind. I don't want to think like this. I don't want to be fantasy man. I'm going to do it for 2 days. I don't want to be like that anymore. That's not helpful. I'm driving my wife crazy. I'm driving everybody in my life crazy. Because I'm unstable. This is hurting me financially. It's hurting me spiritually. Hurting me relationally. I don't want to be like. That's the repentance part. But then David is asking for a miracle. God, I need you to put something in me that is steadfast. So that I continue doing right to over time. Because God wants to give you stability. Ephesians 3:17. Okay, you ever want a good study, you can go through the prayers of Paul in the epistles. This is one of the prayers. What does he pray for people? He says that you may be rooted and grounded. You understand that roots are what enable a tree to survive over time. Why? Think about it. Strong wind. How come that tree is still standing up? Roots. So the Bible says that's what we need. We need stability. That's what Paul is saying. I am praying for you, stability. So, therefore, you could be praying that for yourself, couldn't you? And again, anything you see in Paul's prayers, you could pray for yourself. Okay, so that's the spiritual side, asking God for a miracle. If you're a fantasy man, you say, that's it. All I need to do is pray and it's done. Okay. The Bible's very practical. Spiritual, and then there also is a practical. You have to do some things to cooperate with God that will enable him to give you steadfastness. So, you have to make up your mind with wisdom. You notice I'm not just leaving it. Make up your mind. I will be steadfast. I will be stable. Because some people, as I said, they make up their mind with fantasy. I'll make up my mind. I will be Reinhard Bonnke by Tuesday. That's a fantasy. So you have to make up your mind with wisdom. Psalm 57:7.
My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise.
Okay, I like that in his translation. Actually, instead of fixed, it says steadfast, which is the word we're looking at. So David is saying here, I am making up my mind. But in making up your mind, you have to take into account what will be required. In order to be stable or continue on in the will of God, it's not just simply, yeah, I would love to do that. You got to think through, what areas do I need to work on? That would be making up your mind with wisdom. If it's, I want to be a man of God, but that lacks wisdom. What areas are your weaknesses? That would be something you need to know. And then you have to take into account, I am going to do right, I'm going to change, but I also allow for the fact that you have bad days. And I don't think that those are inconsistent with being steadfast. I don't think, because we are human, I think if you allow for, that doesn't, if I miss a day, that doesn't mean that I am a failure and I should give up. That's just practical wisdom, right? Make up your mind with wisdom. Secondly, set realistic goals. You got to be realistic about this. If you're going to start doing right, then it's always better to start small. If you start small, you can always increase, right? That's just practical common sense. You could always do more. It's not like God said, wait, you said you'd do one chapter, you read three. You broke the rule. You know, you could always do more. But if you start huge, which is unrealistic, you don't do it, then you'll feel bad. So starting small, you need to read some of God's word every day, right? Some of you've come and talked to me and I've given you advice. How about you just start reading one chapter a day? I think you should read more, but how about let's start with one? Because that's where you're at this moment in time. You feel inspired, you want to read 10, God won't complain. That's fine, but that's being realistic. You need to pray some every day. If you have no prayer life at all, I would suggest starting with 10 to 15 minutes a day in prayer. You can build up from there. Realistic goals. Thirdly, you have to take control over your emotions. Our scripture has a command. God is not cruel. He wouldn't give you a command unless you can do it. Unless it's possible. 1 Corinthians 15:58.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Okay. Be steadfast, immovable, not moving. Be, or in other words, this you could say this is a command. This is what I want you to do. Do this. Be this. So that part of that is emotions. You can make up your mind to overcome your emotions. Right? It's discipline. One of the simple ways you can help to overcome emotions is do things that you don't feel like doing. It's very healthy for you. What is there that you don't really want to do in life? When you do that, what you're actually doing is you are learning, I tell my flesh what to do instead of my flesh telling me what to do. My flesh says, I don't feel like it. Let's lay on the couch. No. I want to clean my office. I hate cleaning my office. But it needs to be done, right? And spiritual things, that's true. So in doing that, you're taking control. I don't feel like going to work, but I'm going to do it. Right? That's just a way of taking control over your emotions. And so the Bible says in that is a steadfast spirit. It can become a settled position. This scripture is written because unstable people can become stable. Unsteadfast people can become steadfast. Okay, let's open for some questions or comments. Something you want to ask. Daniel.
What are the factors behind an unstable person that causes the people around them to become vulnerable? You say it's tied to maybe those people around them become disconnected because these people are so unstable?
Well, it obviously can be in numbers of different ways. Unstable people, they literally disconnect. I have seen parents do this is that their teenage children really get touch for God, and that's when dad or mom decides to get funky and they move away, or they make some unstable decision. So literally it affects them spiritually. I think of some young people that I have seen, God touch them powerfully. Oh, God was at work on them. And right about then, mom and dad got stupid, moved away, you know, got mad at somebody in the church. And, you know, so they literally made them vulnerable in that way by pulling away. That's one of the ways. But then the second thing is that you make your family vulnerable because they no longer believe in the good things of God. Right, because often what dad says is right and true. I'm gonna do right. I'm gonna be faithful. I'm gonna get involved. All of which are right and good, but then they see it worked out. He's a completely different person at home. He quits after 3 weeks. He gets mad at somebody in the band on the job. You know, so therefore now when he announces, I'm gonna do right, then. Therefore, they actually begin to despise the things of God because they think that's the things of God. Clearly, the church makes you be like that. No, that's you. And so, I mean, actually, just let's throw this out as a practical. If the mark of your life has been in instability, let me make a suggestion to you. When you decide to do right, don't announce it. Right, there are some guys, they announce to their family like every 3 weeks they're going to do the right thing. So therefore, yada, yada, right? So if you're going to do right, and there are times it's important. I think it is important to go on record. I want to do the will of God. I am called. Those are good things. But if you're an unstable man and you're hot, you're cold, you're up, you're down, and then you just keep on announcing, honey, I'm going to do the, you know, I've known guys, they call family meetings. This is family meeting 497 to announce that they're going to do the right thing. You actually are hurting yourself because if you have a bad day, they're all going to look at you. So I think in that way, that's how you make vulnerable. Those would be very common ways, right? Somebody else, Vince. Emotionally, is you just got to have a bigger view of God, that God's in control. So I'm not basing my life on. That's the healthy thing about being a pastor, is I love everybody, but I recognize that people do wrong. They do really dumb things. So therefore, I'm not going to base my entire self-worth as a human being on what other people do. That's one thing. But the second thing, how do you protect yourself, is don't join in, right? I get people who they've been unstable since Noah got off the boat. And they go, I'm going to start a new ministry. Are you in? Yes. And in 3 days, they quit. So you give all mental energy. So if you know somebody that's unstable, don't join in. I'm going to, okay, great. God bless you. I'll pray for you. But don't join. That would be probably a healthy way. And if they ask why, explain. Because I think you need to demonstrate some stability before I'm willing to hitch my caboose to you.
Is this one of the factors in trying to get dominion in, say, fruitfulness, is if you haven't been outreaching and you go outreach and no one gets saved, it's like, well, this doesn't work. Is this, because I've heard people say, especially like with Saturday outreach, it's like, And we've been seeing a lot of people say recently here in Prescott, but I've heard people say, well, we don't really pray with people on Saturdays and for various reasons, but is this one of the reasons why we have to keep doing, that's why we have the 180 every week, we have outreaches every week, because and you said the results aren't up to us. We have to keep doing the right. Is that part of it? Is like, you know, I'm not getting any deep revelation from reading the Bible. I still need to do it because...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so... everything is based on convictions. Number one, I have convictions. So that's why I can't, you know, I mean, let's take a simple one. This is a common one, is I get guys who are sent out to pioneer and then they don't tithe. I can't even get my head around that. I gotta wait. Hey, it's been 6 months since you've tithed. The year said, what? You clearly don't have a conviction. So everything there are things that I believe are true. If I have a conviction, the circumstances don't change that. I'm just giving you that one example in conviction. But the second thing is faith. Why do you think I preach so much on faith? Is because that's what the desperate need is, people who they have to develop a conviction of faith. They have to be convinced. It's not based on emotion. If it's based on emotion, then they obviously will stop. So, yeah, I mean, that certainly plays into it. Casey?
So how do you develop those convictions, whether it's seeing people saved or whatever it might be?
How do you develop convictions? Well, everything is based on the Word of God. So that's why the most fundamentally important thing you can do as a believer is read your Bible. And so in reading your Bible, but not just reading your Bible to say X number of chapters, I ticked them off. It is reading and genuinely finding out what it is that God wants. Studying. That's why you got to study. You want to be a disciple, you got to study Bible doctrines. There are things that I have studied. I don't believe things because the church believes it. It drives me crazy. This is what backsliders do. Well, because the church. It's like the church is people. You were a part of that. It's what the Bible says. So you develop Bible doctrines, but then you examine your life. Am I living biblically or emotionally? Right, the decision that I made in that, what did I base it on? Was that God's word says, or was it I felt like? So you begin to do that over time, and then you ask God to put those in you, to make them convictions. Make them, God, make me. Anything you read in the Bible, you can make a prayer. God, make me steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. That's what I need. Especially if you recognize there's a lack. So God, a conviction is something that is settled. That's what you're saying. It's a belief that is settled. That's why in our church, and of course that's, you know, the type of people you're reaching, but I don't spend a lot of time in my sermon, can you say amen? I said. Because it doesn't, you shouting amen doesn't make it a conviction. Right? you gotta work those things out on your own. Ian?
So when I think back about my salvation, there has been pretty defining moments of, there have been emotional moments where I'm in church and God has dealt with me. How do you begin to separate, like, okay, this is a moment of emotion, God is dealing with me on something, and then make it continue, like whatever God dealt with you in that moment of emotion, make it a part of your day-to-day life?
Yeah. So I would call it, instead of emotion, I'd call it stirring.
Okay.
Stirring may produce emotion, but I mean, the emotion may be excitement. The emotion may be, you may feel very bad because you know you've not been doing right. So I think the you have to be practical about this. Have you ever seen this? You ever seen me, I preach a sermon. I've already preached a sermon. We've had the altar call. And then I say, now, when you leave here, what did you think about? What do you need to do to put this into practice? That's getting practical in this. So part of that is a self-examination. So what is it I normally do when I have a bad day, when my wife growls at me, when, you know, whatever. This is what I do. Okay, so I need to make sure that I change in this area. It has to be it has to be practical. I need to read my Bible. I need a set time. I, you know, There are just practical areas of life that I follow through in that. So I think that is, you got to be a thinker. Thinking is actually one of the keys of success in life. Fantasy men don't think. It just like an idea popped into my head. You didn't think it through. So you got to think of what it takes.
When we're talking about being steadfast, I think of the parable of the house that was built upon the rocks and the house that was built upon the sand.
Uh-huh.
And obviously the sand didn't last. So I'm just thinking about our foundation and being like steadfast in our foundation is important. So what are some ways that we can build our foundation? Is there more to building our foundation than just prayer and reading and...
Well, it goes hand in hand with Casey's question, is that Jesus was actually talking about the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and the foundation, which is the Word of God. Everything else won't last. It's emotion based. It's people based. It's all kinds of things. Very interesting article I read yesterday. Talking about the percentage of American pastors who believe that homosexual marriage is acceptable. And they said, okay, which kind of pastor is the most likely to say homosexual marriage is acceptable? A pastor who doesn't believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Right? So therefore, whatever is popular at the moment, they're willing to change. When they went into seminary, when they decided to become a pastor, it was men and women. And so what? The world says it should be a man and a man? And if time changed again, it should be a man and a pig? Oh, okay, sure. Who am I to judge? So it's the Word of God, ultimately. They said, and who is it who is the least likely? As a matter of fact, they said the least likely type of pastor to believe that homosexual marriage is acceptable is a Pentecostal pastor who believes in the inspired Word of God. It's very interesting. So that's the foundation. Phil.
Pastor, I feel like a lot of my life has been good seasons where I've been consistent for a season or so, and then I seem to find myself not where I should be. And I just was wondering if you had advice for making consistency a long-term thing.
Well, you know, I mean, I just did a lesson on it, but the issue would be examining yourself. What was it that caused you to get off the good season? That would be the key. Was it emotion? Was it sin? Was it conflict? What, you know, that's a personal question you have to answer. I can't answer it for you. So therefore, once you know how you got off track, right? Any of you that have ever come to talk to me about sin, I don't go into great detail on what you did. That's not the issue to me. The issue is how'd you get there? That's more important. If you don't know how you got there, you'll do it again. That's the key. So, I have a negative tendency in my life. When am I most vulnerable? What is it that's going on in my life when I get off track? There are identifiable things. If you can't identify that, you better pray for a miracle. Because you're going to struggle. So I think that's the key. Once you work out, okay, this seems to be the pattern of what goes on in my life, therefore I can then take practical steps to overcome that.
Remember? You had mentioned the curse, and I was wondering, like, okay, would that be like curses like... illegitimacy and
sure.
Rejection and stuff.
Sure.
And when you pray with a pastor and to break those curses, is that something that we should be praying on a daily basis? Like, is it like a process, or is it like a one-time
thing? It's like all of salvation is both, right? It is both. I think that people can pray and be tremendously helped. It's almost like starting the process. They recognize something breaks off their life. It's like I preached on Wednesday, some things that I'm trusting that people were touched in that moment. But then reality is, I don't know many people that have one-time prayer and they never deal with something again. So that doesn't mean you're going to be 99 still dealing with rejection, you can get to a point of healing to where you approach life completely differently. So, but that does take prayer and, again, you know, recognizing thinking patterns or patterns of behavior. And so when you begin to change that over time, then you begin to see that you come to a very different place in life. You view life differently. You feel differently. So you can get to where that is now not just I was touched. This is mine. I am free, genuinely free. I don't live like that. I don't feel like that. I don't think like that anymore.
So, like, even if you, you're not there yet, but you're like, okay, I'm going to live like I have that, and you start living it, and then it kind of becomes a...
Yes. So because someone has a further struggle, that doesn't negate... What happens to us is, because we have a further struggle in any area, the devil says, then the prayer was pointless.
Right.
Nothing happened. That's not true. It's just further... You know, the biblical understanding would be they were supernaturally delivered from Egypt, and God did some great things in battles. But then he said, I'll drive them out by little by little. That's the other side, the practical side, is that some things in life, not everything. There are some things people pray one time, boom, it's done. They never struggle with that again.
Yeah.
And then there are other things that take time. I don't know why. I can't tell you this is why that one left, and this one, you know, somebody they prayed one time on cigarettes, boom, they never even think about it again. Other things, it's a greater struggle. And then there are other people that what you struggle with won't be what somebody else struggles with, and that's okay. Another person, that is their struggle. They're still struggling with cigarettes. You know, whatever. You take that to God. But my point, yes, exactly as you just expressed, you can then press in, begin to cooperate with God in some practical areas to where it now becomes a settled condition, to where that is no longer a struggle in life. That's the hope of the gospel. Anybody else? Thinking.
Pastor.
Yep.
Would you also say what fixes instability is knowing the right view of God's love for you when you have not, you know?
Yeah.
That. Yep. So that revelation really does help to stay stable.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Which is why I preach on it so much, right?
Yeah.
Because we need it so badly.
Yeah.
So that's that is a healthy view of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
God wants me to change, and yet he is not going to give up on me because I still need to change.
Right.
He still loves me. Certainly you need to be a better man, but yeah, if you have a bad day, a bad patch, he's not giving up on you. He's not holding it against you.
Right.
Right? Otherwise, that's a rough way to live.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, and one of the things that he said, we were talking about Bible verses, and he was saying that he started adding stuff to the Bible while we were talking, like that map of the Bible that I've read it four times, you know, that particular section. And we were kind of going back and forth, and he was like, no, that's what it is, that's what's in there. Well, how do you deal with that kind of thing? Is it just like, I'm done arguing, you know, leaving?
You know, was he religious or a sinner? Yeah. So again,
he was working his way towards being ready to get baptized because he's not saved yet. And it was just,
yeah. So someone's arguing with you from scripture, they're religious, they're the least likely person to respond. So God bless you, man. Keep going to your church. Let them help you. Yep.
You're talking about emotional stability. So what do you do if your emotions are like, you feel like totally overwhelmed, like it's like the emotions paralyze you? Feel like that sometimes, and it's just like, you know, you work through that.
That's a good question. Clearly this coffee's not working. Okay. I think I think the key would be, first of all, why? Is you have sometimes people that are paralyzed emotionally because they have unhealed areas of life, right? I'm talking to, sometimes I talk to people and so it's like, you know, they're, yeah, and so they're asking a question, what do I, and so, you know, what about, I touch one question and like, you know, tears come to the eyes or they start getting red and angry. It's like, whoa, there's some, you know, there's some unhealed areas. So sometimes it's a matter of I need this to be healed, recognizing that, you know, there may be some of the things I preach Wednesday night. There may be you know, a broken heart. There may be an event associated with. I get that feeling because something happened in life and didn't work out, and I absolutely was devastated. So healing would be one part of that, I suppose. And then the second thing is that God is the only one who can heal emotion. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not Dr. Phil, right? So it's not, I can point and I probe to try to help people identify so that they can take it to the cross. It's not a matter of me, you know, you just need to feel better about yourself is what you need often is anything that we lack. You know, Psalm 51, what does David do? He's practical. God, there are things that are not in me. They don't exist. Create in me a clean heart. There are things maybe that used to be, but I damaged it. Renew a steadfast spirit. So that's just, he's praying practically about what's going on in his life. So if we're paralyzed by emotion, that is something that you, our instinct needs to be to take it to God. That's a very important issue. And so you discover that in life, you come up against people and situations that just, you know, can anyone be saved? And so you have to instinctively know, God, put within me. Whenever I feel like that, my instinctive prayer is, God, please put within me the faith to believe you for your word. I don't want to live like that. Good. Okay. Everybody will be stable by Tuesday, right? Thanks, guys.